Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
We're talking now about world schooling. Dr. Linda Blocklin, chairperson at Clinical Psychology Forum. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Gary.
And thank you for making time to chat to us today. Much appreciated. So, I must admit, world schooling I had never heard of until today. It's something totally new to me. And what exactly kids and world schooling and homeschooling, how does this all fit together?
Yeah, interesting question. And thank you for engaging me around this. So what I understand about the world schooling is that parents make a choice to, you know, especially in this digital age, and I think it's been escalated quite a bit with the pandemic where everybody's gone online, or a lot of people have been able to go online with their jobs, is that they now choose or can choose to travel, and while helping their children either attend schools wherever they go or do online schooling, but the idea is that they're going to be traveling around and the children get exposed to different cultures, different ways of life, and so on, different schooling systems even. And I think that's what I understand by world schooling.
A very interesting concept, I must admit. You know, I was thinking earlier, how would it work, obviously, with languages and things? But I suppose wherever you go, English is one of the key languages. So there would be an English school, you know, they went to a physical school or, as you say, online.
Yeah, that's my understanding too. And in a lot of countries, there are international schools where very often the language of tuition is English. But I suppose the other alternative is, of course, to do the online schooling.
I think it's quite fascinating. And I was reading up on it earlier. And in the US, I mean, there are millions of families that are doing this. And I wonder outside the US, though, how popular this would be. Because, I mean, it's a whole new concept, this, isn't it?
It is a whole new concept, especially by choice. Because there are certain families, you know, for a long time now, don't have that choice. Children whose parents are in the military or who work for government services in the diplomatic corps, who do this in any case. I mean, we know within South Africa, even families whose parents are working for the railways and so on, where moving on a regular basis is without a choice. They just have to do this and adapt. But now we're talking about something that parents are choosing to do, which is quite a different concept. And we know that there's been quite a bit of research on the impact on children and on families. I mean, adults also are impacted by this, not really having roots in one particular place, but by this constant movement. And it does have an impact on people, and especially on children.
It must. I mean, as you're saying, moving all the time, and I'm sure the impact on kids, I mean, they can't set roots, their friends, their foundations, everything's just constantly changing. And I mean, as they develop into adults, I mean, do you think this is going to have a negative sort of influence?
Well, it can. I'm always hesitant to say that it will.
Yeah.
We do see that it does. It does very often. So parents would have to be very careful and very very well aware of what the impact could be, because I think what's also missing, you talk about not having roots, I think the big thing is there's not belonging to a community, not having relationships that endure through time. And I know a lot of people will say, well, you know, they can always connect with their friends online and so on. It's not quite the same thing as having a friend next door or down the road or whatever and just sort of hanging out. And I think that's one of the big impacts is on relationship and attachment styles that these children grow up to develop.
It must be tough. I mean, I was just thinking my own childhood, sort of, you know, growing up, and you just get so familiar with your environment, you know, where everything is and how to do it and where to catch a bus and whatever. And if it's constantly changing, I don't know, is that good or bad? I don't know.
Well, I suppose there are always pros and cons, but I think what is missing is that very strong sense of security of that the environment is safe and secure and familiar. That's very important to children growing up.
It must be. And I mean, this world schooling, I wonder if it's more, if it's primary school and, sort of senior school as well. I wonder if it's secondary school. It must be, I suppose. It must be from young kids through to teenagers, I'm sure.
Yes, that's what I understand. It is from young, it's all ages. And I suppose at some point children reach a certain age, and they go off to college or university or something, and I guess that's when it's their opportunity then to decide whether they want to set down roots somewhere.
I think it's quite interesting. I think, let's put it this way, I've learned something new today. I mean, from homeschooling now, world schooling. And just lastly, I mean, it looks like this is not something that sort of just came about now with the pandemic. It looks like this is, as you were saying earlier, obviously with people on the move all the time, but it seems to be, this has been around for quite a while anyway.
Yes. I think the pandemic has just escalated this process. And highlighted how it is possible. So perhaps it's encouraged more people to sort of jump on board and try this out. Yeah, I guess we still have to see what the long-term impact is going to be in the future.
Interesting concept. And interesting to learn about world schooling. Thank you for taking the time out just to chat to us and our listeners. And Dr. Linda Blockland, Chairperson at Clinical Psychology Forum, thank you so much for just giving us some insight into world schooling.